You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Thursday, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Woodsy, that's Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, and Paulie Reingold, the executive producer of the program, keeping us all running and on time and all of that. And I would say I'm happy to have our next guest here, but I don't know if that's the case. Usually I'm very excited to see Booney, but he cornered me last night. He chewed me out, and I said, just save it. Save it for tomorrow. So we got about halfway through it. Welcome to the program. Brett Boone, good morning.
Hello, guys.
Hello, Odyssey colleague.
Brett Boone, podcast. It's been a minute. Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah. Well, you know, the off season, we try to give you at least a couple of weeks off before we lean on you heavily during baseball season. But how's the last couple of months been going for you?
It's been good. I've been doing a lot of traveling, and then I decided it was a good idea to do back-to-back fantasy camps with the Cincinnati Reds, roll it into the Padres. No big deal. We'll just knock out 12 days.
You get Mariners camp in, too?
I'm serious. It sounds really good, you know, months and months away. Like, hey, I'll just kill two birds, one stone. I don't have to go over there twice. And I was getting at the end of the Reds camp, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I got to start a fresh one and put that I'm a nice guy face on.
For another week.
I'll tell you, though, my first camp I ever did was the Padres a couple years ago. I really enjoy this group of coaches, a lot of buddies of mine, guys I played with, definitely a lot of guys I played against. And it's fun. I mean, as you guys know, getting to be around these guys. And I got a really good team this year, as all you guys in this room know. So
undefeated.
Undefeated. We're 6-0.
The only team with a winning record, actually, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. We're finding ways to win. We're walking people off. And, it's been a lot of fun. But, man, it's been long. And I wake up every day and go, wait a minute, I'm still not going home tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I got a couple more days. But hopefully we bring home the hardware this year.
So the coaches, you draft your own teams at the start. You do an evaluation, and then you draft.
Right.
I noticed you didn't draft Woodsy over here. And with your record, I guess, you know, can't complain with the results.
No.
Well, here's the deal. You got to – and for me, although I am a bit – I still consider myself rookie-ish when it comes to coaching. There's some guys out here that know exactly what they're looking for. They know the personnel. They know who works where. My goal from the beginning, and I'm with Brian Lawrence, we just thought we've got to get a horse pitcher.
You got one.
We picked two, and we got the McGarity kid, and he is the horse in camp as far as a pitcher, and he can hit. So we got him with the number. After you get your pick,
yeah.
And if you're an early pick, you'd be amazed how long you have to wait.
Snake
for
draft,
pick number two.
Like fantasy.
So you've got people ranked, and you know, we had 10 guys on the board. By the time it got back to us, 6 of the guys were gone.
Sure.
So, and then you're just kind of, who didn't I just cross off on the list or the next picks?
Yeah.
You know, because you're out there and I'm watching guys, I'm just crossing guys off like, by no means do you want him. So, the draft's a bit of a crapshoot, but that's also a fun time in there, and that group makes it a lot of fun. But so far, so good. There is light at the end of the tunnel, and it's coming in a couple days.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, you'll be done.
No, tomorrow. I'm still here, though. I got to stay one more night. I'm kicking butt. On my Marriott.
Well, yeah, you
get
the last game tomorrow because the championship is at the end.
Yeah, you're in the chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I got to sleep over one more night.
One more night.
For those Marriott points.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, so yesterday you grabbed me in the hallway.
Yes.
And you started to lay into me a little bit, which I think I needed. You know, I thought about it a lot after the when I got home in the deep, dark recesses of my mind. So what are your observations?
All right, here we go. We got Paulie and Woodsy, who are baseball absolute fanatics. Ben, a fanatic, but not from the physical standpoint.
Correct.
Now, ever since I know you guys going back 3-4 years ago, I could tell you're like a crazy person. You know, you're like that guy that gets the golf bug and you just can't stop going to the range.
Yep.
I get it. Like, all right, he's passionate about his game. Paulie was too, but in a quieter way.
Yep.
But then I started breaking you down over the years, and I'm thinking, okay, if I'm a scout, I'm going to fantasy camp, I've got a little of experience, you know, I'm still kind of a rookie. I'm in between a rookie and a veteran as far as scouting the fantasy league. I know what I'm getting. I know there's guys at one end of the spectrum that, hey, they probably played a little high school baseball, they can still do it. They've got some youth on their side. Then there's guys that probably never made their freshman baseball team. They're 75, and they just love the game.
Sure.
Okay. So if I'm scouting Woodsy, I'm thinking, okay, still relatively young, can move, got pretty good footwork, can pick up a ground ball, has got good actions, got good arm actions, got a somewhat athletic swing, got some bat speed. You're a high draft pick for me. Now, translate that for Woods going on the field. And Paulie, too, by the way, for this camp, very physical, hits the ball hard, has got a good arm. Can walk and chew gum. That's a prerequisite. I mean, that's a high draft pick, walking, gum chewing. So both pretty good on the physical side. Difference between you and Paulie is he can translate it to the field. He goes onto the field, and he's that guy I thought I was getting when I drafted him. He's going to smoke some ball. He's going to make some mistakes. But for the most part, if I put him into pitch, he's got the ability to throw a strike.
Yeah.
He's got the ability to repeat an action. Whereas you, all of a sudden, all right, game one, game, excuse me, I still got a little bit of a cough. I don't know if it was game one or game two. I'm coaching third. There he is. I hear something. I'm like, Woodsy must be on the field. He's talking to me about this week already and how he's going to do good and he's ready to go. And first ball, he kicks it. I said, what, Dan?
Here we go.
And then they're having trouble pitching, his team. And I forget, who's your skipper?
It's Arky and Flan.
Yeah, so Flan. Flan's talking to me about, man, we got to have a guy that can throw strikes. I said, Woods can throw it. I said, put Woods out there. He's an athlete. Woods comes into the game, can't throw a strike.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, what changes from the backfields in the minor leagues to when you get the call to the big leagues?
Yeah, I don't know.
What changes?
I don't know.
Because I understand if you were a fringe talent compared to everybody else, you're intimidated. The guys are really good. Like when you get called to the big leagues, guys are really good.
Yeah.
And you're thinking yourself as a minor league guy coming up, can I match up?
Yeah.
But you've seen these guys. You know you're better than 90% of the class. So when you get to the field, wouldn't that be a way that you crush your opponent?
I go the other way.
You play down.
It's the
You're a mess.
Yeah, I have to do too much. That's what I always
say. So why do you think that? If you were playing in a real league
yeah.
where there was real talent, I could see the angst.
I play better in a real league than here. It makes no sense. It makes no sense.
It would be like, okay, I got to think of a passion for me. Golf, maybe a little bit for me. I'm a decent player. I'm compared to my buddies, I'm probably the worst player in our group at all times. I'm like a 5'6", 5'8", index. Most of the guys I play with are 2s and 3s, so I'm the worst player. In the real world, a 5.6, as you know, as a golfer, is a really good player.
Yeah.
But not in my world.
Right.
So I can hang with them.
Sure.
But that would be like me going to play golf with a 20 handicap and just falling apart.
And he smokes you. Yeah.
That can't happen.
That can't happen. No,
Woods,
I know.
I've dedicated one day of this offseason before Fantasy Camp 2026 that we are going to go out. Paulie will come. He doesn't need my instruction. But he can come just for maybe bring a camera, and we'll break it down. Because in Camp 26, I want to see the coaches in the room going, Woodsy really, he crossed the threshold.
Yeah, he made the next
He got
step.
Over it.
Yeah.
And he's a legit, reliable number one pick.
This
yeah,
has to sting a little bit.
It does.
Doesn't it?
I can't, you know.
Stings.
You know me. You know, I care too much. That's the problem, is I care too much. I care, it's about everything. And I get myself domed out because I just want to do good. I want to be great.
Cares about radio, cares about everything.
And I get so spun out. Instead of just being the cool guy that's like, here it comes, I'm going to drill it, I'm trying to hit it over the left fielder's head every time. And
that
I end
would
up
be like, right, right. Like if you get somebody in here that's never been on the radio before, doesn't know how to talk, doesn't know anything about baseball, and you do an interview with them, are you gonna panic?
Am I going to panic?
No.
No.
Exactly.
No.
Why are you panicking out there?
It's a great question.
Think Manny Machado.
I know.
Never panics at all. Never. Ever.
There's no panic.
Never let him see you sweat.
I know, man. I'm out there grinding through ABs off a pitching machine.
You really are. Dave Burba. Okay. Dave Burba, a teammate of mine. I had him in Cincinnati Reds camp. We were telling stories, and I remember Burbs. He loved to hit so much. Now, as a pitcher, I never can get over it. Yeah, it's great if you can contribute a bunt, you know, back when they used to hit.
Grumble the right
side. If you get a hit, right. If you put it in play. You're winning. Just pitch. Just shut up about hitting and pitch. But I've had some pitchers that love to hit.
Yeah.
But it's not your job, and you're not good at it anyway. So quit talking to me about what bat you should use.
Yeah, yeah.
So Burb's classic. And one of my favorite guys. We're in Cincinnati, and he gets a he's in a 3-1 count. He gets a cookie down the middle, comes unglued. Fouls it straight back. He's so angry that he missed the 3-1 pitch in a big league contest that he takes his bat over his head and he snaps it on the plate.
No.
Mid at bat.
Mid at bat.
Not off the
like
bat.
He struck
still
out.
In the at bat.
Like he came.
And then all of a sudden, he's looking around like, oh, the bat's still going on. Bat boy brought him out another bat, proceeded to punch out, come back, and then just kind of tail between his legs. But it's stuff like that. I'm like, Burbs. You can't get. We've got a 3-2 game here. You're on the hill.
You're on the bump.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care about that meaningless at bat. We knew you were going to strike out anyway. But he's like, yeah, but Booney, the pitch was right.
It's
there.
Right there.
It reminds me of you.
Well, I'll say this, Woods. You at least take the chance, put yourself out there, and you go out on the field. I just like the big league lifestyle outside of the sport.
Yes,
I want to play the golf. I want to do all the other. Go
Ben's
out.
He's more of a snob.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Finally figured that out.
Yeah,
huh?
He's more of a snob. He likes all the little accolades and the trinkets for coming to camp. He's the big. You know, he runs the show.
Yeah, runs the panel. Hour. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yep. But he's like, I'll play later.
I don't want to get in the cage.
I don't know what it is, man. It's always been that way. I think at the end of the day, Booney, I think I'm a choker. I think I'm
it's
just
not,
a choker.
It's not a choker. It's beyond that. It's become so deeply embedded in your brain.
How do I get rid of it?
That's what we're going to work on this offseason.
Okay. All right. I look forward to it.
Booney, I'm glad you made it
because
back.
I've got to do some studying.
I'm glad you made it back to camp this year.
You got it, guys.
And hopefully we will get to see you again in the future, and we'll talk to you as the season approaches as well.
It stinks. It does sting. He's right. You know, it hurts when it's true. Oh, it's such a bummer.
Our
you got it, boys. Thank you.
Brett Boone Podcast. Always check it out. He's posting new stuff on social media every single day. Always good to see Brett Boone. We're going to take a quick timeout. We will come back. Are we going to play real or fake here? Do we want to push it? We'll figure it out. We got to figure some things out scheduling wise. If we got another coach coming on, or we'll play some real or fake coming up. First, though, Woodsy is going to tell us a little bit about Underdog Fantasy.
Well, listen, if I was picking myself on Underdog, I would pick the under. That's what I would pay. I would pick the, I would take lower. If they said Woods is going to get 1.5 hits today, I would probably take lower than that. Because, listen, the body is willing, but the mind is weak right now. But Underdog, if you are a sports fan in California, good news. You can now play Underdog Fantasy, and it's really, really fun. Having a great time doing. A lot of tier ones are as well. Best place to cash in on all your takes during the playoffs and the regular season. If you like NBA, if you like the golf game, you can do some higher and lower there. It's always a good time. With their pick 'em game, you can win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on player stats. This is not rocket science. You guys can figure this out pretty easy. Create entries with all football picks or mix and match across all your other favorite sports. Cannot wait for baseball season to start. I will be on Underdog every single day. You can believe it. With Underdog's double flex option, you can even take two L's, turn them into a win. So just go download the app, Underdog, the best place to play pick 'em. Download the app, sign up with the promo code Woods, please. Deposit now, you can get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code Woods. Must be 18 and over, present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We work things out here at Fantasy Camp. We're going to push back our game of real or fake. A few minutes, probably at the bottom of the hour. Chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. But we got another camper in before you guys have your morning meeting in the clubhouse. And it is a pleasure to welcome to Ben and Woods, Padres pitcher from the early 2000s, and the co-coach of our last guest, Brett Boone, whose team is in first place. So I guess he knows what he's doing. Brian Lawrence is with us here
B-Law.
On 97.3 The Fan. B-Law, it's good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Man.
This is something I look forward to. You know, it's the second time I've done it and just had a really good time.
It's you got some characters in there. Who's the lead storyteller?
Oh, Flan's up there.
Woo!
Oh yeah, and you get everybody going, and everybody has, you know, TK has a lot of stories, and then everybody kind of just remembers and starts adding on to it, and then one story can end up being a 45-hour-minute conversation.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, it just in there spinning yarns.
Now, it is so good.
You have some coaching experience after your playing career in the Padres system, the Cubs system. Does that help you at all here?
No.
With the fantasy campers?
I'll answer for him. No, it does not.
No,
not even a little.
No, what I've seen is how, as a coach, we're competing here is the first day when there's tryouts, and how important it is to really pay attention to how people move.
It's a war of attrition out here, really. I mean, you can run to first base by the fourth day, you're in good shape.
Good. And, you know, age does have something to do with that. And you know, just watching them take a ground ball and looking like, all right, I know he can go out there. He's not going to make every play, but he knows what he's doing a little bit. And we compete in the draft room. That's where it is. And then once that's over, we kind of hand it over and just watch you guys go about your business.
Yeah, it's a blast every year. I just got roasted by Brett Boone. He basically called me Ranger Rick. You know, you're really good off the tee at the range. Get out to the course. The mental side takes over. So when you were a pitcher, how much did you have to battle with your head? You know, in game, after game, pre-game, was that ever a battle for you?
No.
It must be really nice.
That side of it was never a part of me. I never had confidence or lack of confidence that I was going to be able to do the job. It was a matter of self-awareness and knowing why I'm not doing well. And if it's not that I'm not good enough anymore. It's, no, I'm missing here, or I'm doing this. If I can fix that, I'm going to be. And it was, you're right back at it. You have nerves. You know, some guys, just the nerves take over and they can't do it. And so, you know, we had anxiety of getting the game going. I need to get going. I need to compete. And once you get out there, it all goes away.
Yeah.
And you just do your thing.
Now, that's fascinating to me because, obviously, you know, you're at the hardest thrower in the big leagues. You go and, you know, guys have been throwing in the mid-90s, and you're in the mid-80s a lot of the time. But that didn't bother you at all. You felt like you go out there and you can compete against the best in the world.
Yes, and that was I never tried to be somebody else. So I didn't try to reach back and throw 90. My game was getting in a comfort zone of that day, whatever it may have been, and velocity-wise, and then attacking my strengths, which were deception, movement, making the ball go two directions, inside, outside, and keeping them off balance. You know, that first pitch changeup, which I hardly throw changeups. But I'll get in there and in a third inning, and all of a sudden I throw a first pitch changeup, and the guy's out in front and hits it. And I'm like, sweet, that's perfect. You know, I just took my fourth pitch and got an out. And it's just that sort of thing. That's what made me good, not velocity.
Talking to Brian Lawrence here on Ben and Woods this morning. How important in your career were your catchers? Because we just did a piece of Michael King was on with Corey Kluber, and was talking about all the great catchers he's had in his career. And you know, Higgy left. He's on his way to Texas. He's going to help that pitching staff there. So now, you know, these guys, Michael King and Yu Darvish, are going to have to get used to another catcher, whoever it may be. Maybe it's Camposano. Maybe it's somebody else. In your career, did you care who you were throwing to?
Yes. But that being said, San Diego never really had anybody that I didn't want to throw to.
Sure.
We had a couple guys get called up, and I'm not going to mention names, but they would get there and they just didn't know what they were doing.
Right. Is it because they were rookies? Were they were fresh call-ups, or was it
a little of that, but also a little of just not being able to retain the information? You know, for instance, we were going over a scout. I think we were playing. I don't remember who we were playing, but the leadoff hitter. I'm like, we will not throw this guy slider in the zone.
Yeah,
like it's not going to happen. I'll throw it and I'll bounce it or I'll do it this, but we're not throwing it in the strike zone. And so that's count related, right? So if it's early in the count, I got to throw it for a strike. Not a ball. I'm not getting the chase in a no-oh count. I want him to swing at a strike. And first at bat, we hadn't even got it. The very first at bat, and he's calling a slider. And I'm like, we just talked about
this. We just did this.
And so then now that puts the pressure on me of I have to, you know, where if I trust my catcher, I'm not really necessarily thinking about what I'm throwing. I'm throwing what he's calling. We're just going to do it and execute. And then every once in a while, I'll be like, no, this is a good, and I'll shake him off. But if I'm rarely shaking, that means we're good.
If you're shaking first pitch of the first batter, it's going to be a long day
for you. It's a long day. It was, that was a long night.
It's very fantasy camp-esque, by the way.
Talking to Brian Lawrence, former Padres pitcher. And, Bilal, you got to the big leagues at a weird time for the Padres organization. It was, between 98 and then Petco Park got approved, but then the construction was delayed and kind of playing out the string at the queue, and then it was Tony Gwynn's retirement in 2001. What do you most remember kind of about that era and then finally getting to Petco Park in 2004?
I enjoyed Qualcomm because that was where I got called up. That was, you know, my first place in the big leagues was there, watching BP and the games. And so I had, you know, some love for that there. But it was nice getting into the new stadium. And, you know, they would talk to us about what we needed and tried to implement that sort of stuff into the new stadium. And they were asking us, who has the best mound? And, you know, majority of people said Dodger Stadium. And so they were going to Dodger Stadium and trying to figure out what made their mound so much better than everybody else's, because they're supposed to be the same, but they're not. And so that made it nice. But then that early in my career, you know, my rookie year was Tony's last year, and being able to watch that was amazing. I pitched his last game. I pitched Ricky Henderson's 3,000 hit game. I started that game and got whipped, but it was still
probably the catcher's fault, if we're being honest. You know?
I'm still mad that the Colorado Rockies put someone right in the 5.5 hole for Tony's last at bat. He put it right there, and they shifted him right over. Like, give the man the hole. It's the last day of the season. Yeah. Give him the – I want a guy on the line and a guy up the middle. He's getting one at-bat, pinch hitting, put it right at the 5.5 pole. I forget, Uribe or someone was just sitting right there to scoop it up. I'm going, this was the perfect story.
Well, Rocky's been a thorn in our side for a long time. They shouldn't be, but it's the team I'm most terrified of when we go on the road. I mean, it just kills
Well, we got him back, I think, a couple years later when Helton was going for the hitting title, and it was the last day of the year, and we walked him. He needed one hit to win, and we walked him.
Nope.
Yep, not getting it.
So you're looking at, you may not know this, and I don't think they made as much of a big deal about it back in 2002, but one of the few pitchers in Major League Baseball with an immaculate hitting.
Wow. You don't see too many of those out here, I'll tell you that right now.
No, and when you do, you see guys who are throwing, you know, usually 97, Tell me, what do you remember, if you even do remember, your immaculate hitting? 9 pitches, 3 strikeouts.
I didn't at the time. When it happened, I didn't know.
Yeah.
It wasn't a thing. It wasn't until after the game when they were asking me about it. And then you go back, and I've seen it so many times now because it does come up, and you see all the pitches and stuff. It was one of those innings to where I wasn't getting – I didn't even get touched. They didn't even foul. They had
badass.
8 swings. 8 out of the 9 pitches were swings. Woo. And not one foul ball. It was 8 swings and misses in a row.
The most immaculate of innings.
That is so immaculate.
So it's, you know, one of those things. I was throwing a wiffle ball that day. You just couldn't hit it.
Oh, I love that, man. I love that. I don't think I've thrown 8 strikes all week. So It happens. That's great.
Well, no, actually, Ashby has one too.
He does. We talked about that with him as well. Yeah, no, it's a rare thing. So just let Padres fans know what you kind of been up to. What's your life like nowadays?
I got 2 girls in Poway School District. We're out by the high school. Been there 22 years now, and it's home. You know, I'm a Texas boy that came to California and never left.
So is this
one
guy?
One of the rare ones.
Right there with you. Never leave.
No, it's great, and you know, watching them grow and play softball and all the things, activities they're in is kind of what I'm doing. But
how old are they?
A sophomore in 8th grade.
How about those? How about those little league dads? Right, coming up, and it's got to be the same even for softball. I mean, it's insane. I got my youngest is starting T-ball. My oldest is playing machine pitch, and it really is tough. Youth sports is tough right now with the parents.
It is, and I'm doing lessons, so I talk to a lot of parents through baseball, and you know, the travel ball thing is. It's good. It's a lot of games. I think you have to pick the right time to go to that for your family. My daughters actually have never played travel ball. But we do have a really, really good rec league there in Poway. The team my youngest daughter is still on is – they're so good.
Yeah.
They're really good. It's a good group. So we're just – she plays enough games there, and we don't want them to make it more than that.
Burn out.
Yeah. Eventually she might play a year or two before high school, which is going to be next year. So it would be this summer, if at all. But I doubt – she might not even do travel ball either.
Yeah.
I'll go right into high school and do that.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Nice. You do pitching lessons?
Yes. So I do some pitching lessons at the house.
All right. Okay.
And, I keep it at a level where I'm not, you know, rushing people through there. I'll break it down, and I have an hour between lessons, and we take our time. And I'll do a couple a night. I'm not overloading it.
All right, so I'll do a pitching lesson with B-Law and a hitting lesson with Boone. Right. I'll come in here next year at 50 and ready to dominate.
You'll have a really great tryout.
As usual.
Well, good luck. You guys, you're the championship favorites right now at 6-0. It gets meeting time. So thank you, Brian, for sitting down with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
There's Brian Lawrence, former Padres pitcher, joining us. We'll take a timeout when we come back. Get your thoughts on Roky Sasaki's introduction. I know you've got a couple of thoughts on that yesterday with the Los Angeles Dodgers. We can play a little real or fake as well. Chance to qualify someone for Las Vegas when we come back. First, though, Woodsy.
Well, listen, guys, you want to get rid of all of that credit card debt that you have accrued. Loan Pronto can certainly help you doing that right now. They have, and they are offering to you, my friends, their rapid equity loan makes it easy to pay off all your credit cards and tackle the 2025 home improvement project. Get cash in your pocket fast. No appraisals, no paperwork, no waiting. They have AI-driven technology. Gets you approved and funded in as little as a day. One client got $150,000 approved in under 24 hours, paid off their credit cards, two cars, and a personal loan. Now save over $1,500 a month. Low fixed rates, lightning fast transfers. Do it as well. Consolidate debt, improve your home. Take control of your finances in 2025. Imagine being credit card debt free by this time next week. Just call Loan Pronto at 619-207-4336 or visit loanpronto.com. Get your free rate quote now with no hard credit pull. 619-207-4336 or loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
All right, we're back here. It is 9:39 in Arizona, 8:39 back in San Diego. Thursday morning with Ben and Will. Fantasy camp. Talking to a bunch of campers. We got a few more set for tomorrow to wrap up the week. But it is always great catching up, especially with guys that haven't had a chance to talk to, at least for many years, like Brian Lawrence.
Yeah.
Sitting down and just getting his stories. And yeah, the immaculate inning. I kind of remembered it because I was doing the pre and the post game show with Greg at the time in 2002. But people didn't make as big of a deal. I think it's kind of a social media thing. Once, you can instantly show the highlights. This guy got nine up, nine down. I didn't remember that no one even touched a pitch in that inning against Brian Lawrence.
Eight swings and misses and a called strike. That's incredible, man. It's the level of locked in you have to be to do that is nuts. I'm surprised RJ didn't have more, but he pitched more contact.
Well, he pitched contact,
know?
Yeah.
Those guys would get him, but, you know, his
ability. But so did B-Law. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
I think I saw his average fastball his final year was the slowest in baseball, 83.3.
That is crazy.
I mean, nowadays,
man,
they won't even, you know, let you get on the bus for a minor league game if that's your fastball. But you wonder how many good pitchers that they're missing out on that they never even give a chance because they don't have the tools, they think, to succeed, but they know how to pitch. And
they can get outs.
They got command, they can get outs, they can outthink the batters, and, you know, they could be effective if they ever got the opportunity, but I don't think they're getting the opportunity because, let's be honest, even if you appreciate the art of pitching, you get two prospects, 18-year-olds sitting in front of you, and one throws 97 and the other throws 82. Who are you drafting?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you have to draft the 97 just to save your own ass. You know, really. Like, that's at the end of the day, chasing velo.
Because you pass on the 82 guy and the 97 guy doesn't work out, fine.
Hey, big deal.
You pass on the 97 guy, he becomes a Hall of Famer, and you get the 82-mile-an-hour guy. I really saw something in him. It's like, no, thank you. We're going to pick another general manager.
There's no end in sight. There is no end game. There, velo will be chased until the world ends. You know what I'm saying? Like, there will never not be pitchers looking to throw harder.
If you want to get online to play a little real or fake on a Thursday, try to qualify for our trip to Las Vegas, you can call Frankie back in the studio right now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We'll play in just a couple of minutes, but you can dial now. He'll put you on hold, and we'll get ready to play in just a second. Now, speaking of general managers, yesterday, the Dodgers lined up their entire brass and Roky Sasaki for his official introduction. Put on his jersey, number 11, the newest pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And then there were some comments, translated comments from Roky Sasaki, one of which being that, you know, he liked the stability of the front office with the Los Angeles Dodgers, one of the deciding factors for him, which
he said
of course,
it was the deciding factor,
which of course made everybody wonder how much the behind the scenes ownership drama was impacting with the Padres. I will say that when he says that, do you know which team on the West Coast has the longest tenured front office with the same, essentially, certainly general manager running the team and pretty much the entire same cast of characters around him?
I know.
It's the San Diego Padres.
I know.
A.J. Preller's been around longer than even Andrew Friedman for the Los Angeles Dodgers, running the show for the San Diego Padres. They're the epitome of stability in the front office in baseball right now. I think it's only Brian Cashman, maybe, or maybe Mike Rizzo with the Nationals on the East Coast.
Cashman's been there
forever. Have had guys who've been longer. But, you know, A.J. Preller is about as stable as it gets right now in baseball front office circles.
Yeah, I mean, look, I said it early this morning. It is what it is at this point. I don't care about Roky Sasaki anymore, not even a little. He's a Dodger, and that's where he's going to be for the foreseeable future. And, you know, nothing that we've heard, nothing that was put out into the media, you know, through his agent, nothing has been accurate. Nothing. Like, I mean, there's not one thing. hey, it's important to him that he, you know, feels comfortable with a smaller media. False. You know, oh, the Japanese players are really going to have an effect. False. It just feels, again, like more gaslighting from I don't want to blame the kid, but from his agent, I guess, at this point, nothing that they've said has actually been accurate. And look, I can be convinced. Do you really feel in your heart of hearts that the Padres had a legit shot? I do. I feel like they had a shot at him.
I know. I believe that they thought they had a legit shot.
I believe that they thought that they had a shot. But I do feel Roky Sasaki, you know, wanted to be a Dodger. That's the fit that he sees for himself. More power to him. Congratulations. Good luck.
We do know that he ticked off a lot of teams in baseball along the way. And Joel Wolf, his agent, addressed some of that and said, yeah. So, you know, we didn't really talk about this that much, but Roky Sasaki gave every team a homework assignment. And he asked every team to tell him why his velocity dropped off a tick last year.
Yeah.
And that was like a test, basically, like, okay, how do your analytics work? How do your biomechanics work? And they all put together this presentation. But a lot of the teams were going like, this is stuff that you get when you sign with us.
Yes.
Not before. This is our proprietary stuff you're asking us to reveal.
To give to you.
And you're really giving us no chance because we want to land you, and we can't just say, I wonder if there was a team that just said, you know, no, we love you. But,
yeah, there's an episode of The Office where they're interviewing a guy for the management position, and he comes in and he goes, I've got a 6-point plan, you know, to help turn this around. They said, well, let's have it. And he's like, I'm not going to give you my plan. Give me the job. And he said, well, he goes, I'll give you part of a plan. I'll do part three, subset A and B, and I'll give you that part. But I want the job, and then you can have my plan. So, no, I can see it's a bit annoying. You know, and the thing is, I said it on the air, and I won't back down from that. I liked, as far as the process went, I did like that he was eliminating teams early. I did. I thought that was I don't want to say a classy move, but I think that was a good move. You're not keeping 12 teams on the hook. Let them be free to go out and explore other international signings. And it gives those guys a chance to sign.
Can't call it a classy move because turns out everything else he has said, he's been full of S.
It went against everything that all of us thought. And so, hey, listen, it is what it is. Roky Sasaki cannot consume my thoughts anymore.
Andrew Friedman.
It's going to be easy to root against him now, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Andrew Friedman, Dodgers president of baseball operations, said that Roky said his goal is to be the first Japanese pitcher to win a Cy Young Award. And I'll say this. I didn't realize that there hadn't been one. There's been a lot of really good Japanese pitchers who have come over, who have gotten a lot of Cy Young votes. Obviously, Yu Darvish is a Cy Young runner-up. I hadn't realized that, you know, Ichiro's won an MVP, but no Japanese pitcher has ever won a Cy Young Award.
Sure.
And now I really, really would love to see Yu Darvish win one before. I know later in his career, probably a little, you know, would be a surprise, but I think Yu could have one great season left in him. And, hey, let's steal that away from Roky Sasaki this year by becoming the first Japanese pitcher
to
win a Cy Young
Award.
Let's
just beat him every time he takes the mound against you. You know, I mean, he's obviously got a wealth of talent. And he's a good pitcher. And, you know, he's with an organization that we'll see how they develop him. And, you know, there's no guarantees in this game, as you guys know. So we'll see what happens. But I just can't let him consume my thoughts anymore. I thought yesterday was garbage. I thought it was, you know, a chance to take an unnecessary shot. And again, you see more gaslighting from the national media, if you want to call Ben Verlander that, saying the Padres really screwed themselves with their ownership, or the Padres really screwed themselves with their ownership drama. And many people made the point, yes, Ben, we're very sorry that our owner passed away unexpectedly at the time. How awful are we that our owner passed away? So, you know, I think we're all sensitive to it, hypersensitive to it, I think as we should be. But I'm kind of over the gaslighting from the national media.
I've got a couple more Dodgers thoughts we can get to. There's also some breaking football news involving the Cowboys and a new coach.
Really?
And we can
do I know this person?
You do? You probably are not going to be overly impressed. Well, I'll say it right now. Paulie just showed me. Brian Schottenheimer. He is in final negotiations to become the new Barney son. Yeah.
The head football coach?
The head football coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh.
There's nothing Jerry doesn't like if it's not a legacy football name,
that
right?
That's wild.
Like Schottenheimer.
Wonder what the reaction is in Big D today.
So we can talk about that as well. Right now, though, we're going to check traffic and then play a little real or fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods. Yeah, you can go plow through another donut. It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Up for grabs. If you can get 4 out of 7 right in Real or Fake, we'll qualify you for the chance to win our grand prize, a trip to Las Vegas to see the Scorpions on August 14th now, plus a two-night stay at Planet Hollywood and a $100 gas card. Scorpions returning. They're 60 years of the Scorpions Las Vegas residency show live August 14th through the 23rd at PH Live at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com, and I believe we have Rod on the line, ready to play a little Real or Fake. Good morning, Rod.
Hey, good morning, Ben. Good morning, Pauly. Good morning, Mr. Senor Woods. How you guys doing?
Hey, what Rod.
How you doing, man? All right, so let's get you qualified. This is actually a category that came from the chat last week. And I thought, okay, let's give this a try because I didn't know all the answers. We are a couple days away from the Chinese New Year celebration. 2024, Woods, was the year of the dragon.
Ooh.
2025 will be the year of the snake. Personality traits including enigmatic, intelligent, and wise. Today on Real or Fake, I will name an animal. You need to tell me if it's a real member of the Chinese zodiac calendar or a fake I have thrown in to fool you. You understand the rules, Rod?
Yes, I do. Let's get the show on the road and shout out.
All right, Frankie is our judge back at the Odyssey Studios. Round number one. Here we go. Real or fake Chinese zodiac. The year of the goat. Real or fake?
Oh, that's real right there.
That is real.
Wow.
Year of the goat. That's one for one. All right, let's go to round number two. Year of the sheep. Real or fake?
Ooh, I'm going to say it sounds fake to me. What do you think, Wood?
I think fake also, buddy.
But do it.
Fake is the answer, and fake is correct. That's two for two. We are on a roll here. All right, let's go with year of the cat. Year of the cat. Real or fake?
Man, that one sounds pretty real. I don't remember seeing the year of the cat recently.
Me neither, buddy.
Eating Chinese food.
Right, yeah, that's what I was thinking of, too. I don't think so. Let's say fake.
Yeah, let's say no. Let's go fake.
Yeah, fake. You're the cat.
I'm losing my touch.
You are losing your touch.
All right, that's three for
three. Too easy to read.
All you need is one more answer correct, and you have qualified. Let's go year of the rat. Year of the rat. Real or fake, Rod?
Oh, man, that one is so real. I mean, I think
it's 100% real. Yeah, that's a sweep.
In L.A.
Give him the ding. Yes. I didn't realize you knew your Chinese zodiac sign
so
well.
Nobody knows it
better. What's the year of the dog?
Fake.
That's real.
No.
Year of the rooster.
Real.
That's real.
Yep.
And year of the cow.
Real.
Fake.
Damn it.
Well, I should have put those ones earlier. We would have had a more dramatic game. You know what? No stress for Rod. He qualifies for our grand prize drawing. Good luck, Rod. Frankie will get all your information if he has not already. Congratulations. We will come back with another game of Take on Woods tomorrow to wrap up the week.
If you were a Rodney, would you go by Rodney or Rod?
I think I'd go with the full.
Would you?
Rodney.
Rodney Higgins.
Rodney.
I think I would
Rodney
go by
Dangerfield.
Yeah. Rod.
There's Rod Beck. He was cool. Shooter.
Yeah, Shooter was cool.
He filled in. Trevor is here, but they had that season where Trevor was out, and they needed Shooter to be the closer for the Padres. He lived in a trailer.
Yeah, that's
just,
right.
Yeah, just was ready to do anytime they needed. Just knock on the door of the trailer, and Shooter would come in for the save.
Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
Rod Serling. The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I think I would go with Rod. It's very porno-y.
It is. That's probably why I wasn't going to go.
Yeah, okay.
With it.
That's why. No, it's no Ben Stevens.
Rod. Hot Rod.
Stop. I have to drive home with
you
him tomorrow.
You want to hear him say it?
Fishing Rod.
Fishing Rod. I have to drive home with him tomorrow.
Rod and Reel.
Have fun, buddy.
He's going to be pointing. You're going to have a nice, peaceful, relaxing drive.
There's also Roderick. It's not just Rod.
That's true.
It's also Roderick.
Roderick.
Yeah.
Rod Tidwell.
How much Rod Tidwell? The fictitious wide receiver. Jerry Maguire. How long do you need me for? I would like to get my knee worked on for a second, if that's okay.
You can get your knee worked on for a second. You got one more segment.
Oh, I got one more segment.
One more. We'll make it short. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit more about the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll also have some Don't Do This as well in the final hour of Ben and Woods Fantasy Camp on a Thursday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.